Ja, het was tango. Nee, ik kan het ook.
What's the first question? Answer for the first question.
The question is, what is the ultimate object possessor? The wisdom of directly perceiving emptiness. Directly perceiving emptiness.
You can just say emptiness, wisdom which realizes emptiness. You don't have to say that direct.
Wisdom realizing emptiness.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Wisdom which realizes. Okay.
That telas, any. Twaniva, Terabata, telas. Ane, don't. You can't on the Wudong, Timby Tonam, Sigatan countries to you.
So the second question is about the actual and concordant ultimate object, right? Difference. Okay. What is the answer for that? Okay.
The ultimate object is the object itself, and the actual concordant it is the perception and conceptualization of the object from the eye consciousness to the mind.
Again, there is the Quran. You just turn them, sir. You turn them, Rosh Lausrak. You turn them, the you don't need any. Do you all have the same answer?
No, can't do it.
Okay, what is your answer?
My answer is exalted wisdom directly realizing emptiness is the actual. So it's the exalted wisdom directly realizing emptiness is the actual ultimate object possessor. And then the conceptual thought realizing emptiness through meaning generality is the concordant object possessor.
That seems right. So do you all have the same answer? Do you have different answers? Do you agree with Chucky? Yes?
Yes. Well, I didn't say valid. I didn't get it to valid in French, so maybe you should. You want to ask?
Kar chesum se.
De la disage de ceniba sage de ceniba valid.
You can't on the moon, say after what?
Ceniba sash. Generic, the little is last.
Moon, say after you're
right. You're saying valid? Something? Or the actual?
No, I was just saying, I was actually answering question number 4, writing it down because I didn't have time to write it down. So I missed the answer. So I was asking Choki if she had said what I had on my paper.
Okay.
And she said mostly she did, except for concordant, she didn't include valid inferential
cognizant. Morang lendi tanda jayad shibe len re di morang len sumba sumbe lendi mo la titu mundus shibe len re di shas
kar sertes
trwa shibe len
chujik len jayate
mar morang chigi yos di
ya okay. Tati ne trwa sus sumba rebada yur tondam sayad karla sigur.
So the third question is about what is the ultimate object, right? What is the answer for that? Mala?
Let's go back around
try it.
Let's go back around this way so you don't.
Or
Somebody else want to answer?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
The ultimate object, what do we mean by that?
Mm-hmm.
It's the emptiness of phenomena.
Emptiness of phenomena. Tonitres.
Ori. Ta yu toba nyete.
Yu toba nyete.
Ta tondam.
Tondam res. Yu tondam res.
Mm. Ya doctor.
That's right.
Ta toba yeba se. Ne la ane.
And then the fourth question is about what is
question about question number three.
Okay.
No.
No, now is it correct also to say that it's the negation of true existence? Or you just say emptiness of the object.
What is that, meaning negation?
Is it also correct to say mere negation of true existence, or is that something different?
A mere negation of true existence. Tony said that again, and then a demotrobe, a cards, and chas at the chigorves.
What you guys?
Oh, that those that are the same. Mere negation of phenomena or emptiness of phenomena.
Then look at some chatala. Oh, Chuchin said the demotrobe cards and chatala, Tony Sigoras.
So you actually mere negation of the object, the basis of object is actually the emptiness, right?
Mere
negation of truly existent. Mere negation of truly existent. That is called the emptiness.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah.
Same thing. So it's okay.
That's either one is fine.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, that tell us. Ani, you tell them tell us.
So what is the difference, the actual ultimate object and then the concordant ultimate object?
The actual ultimate object is the mere negation of true existence, which is the object of the wisdom that realizes emptiness directly.
Uh-huh.
And concordant ultimate object is the mere negation of true existence, which is the object of a conventional wisdom realizing emptiness.
Convention of wisdom realizing emptiness. Okay. Again, the you then do got some chat or work. Then but you got some chat he and a don't you know some top, don't make a shiva or work.
No, the
thing all ya and a you turn them noise. Ane
Teletuetes,
Tim Orson, a tilte, you turn them goings. Ane at Tendavati, and a Kunzubirlo, Lapsuragi. Kunzubirlo, Latuna, and a Gentivines.
What Kunzubirlo, said you mercy. Tony the Tonchi to the dog, we could have.
Okay, the second part of your answer, you're saying conventional mind, right? Which realizes emptiness. You said
yeah,
that.
Conceptual or
conceptual.
Conventional, whatever.
That's not conventional.
No.
Conceptual
mind.
Conceptual
okay.
Mind. That's correct.
Conceptual wisdom?
Okay. Okay, so you need to say that the empty of truly existent, right, phenomena or object. In relation with, right? In relation to the non-conceptual exalted wisdom realizing emptiness, it is ultimate, actual ultimate object. Okay?
Directly realizing emptiness.
In relation to. Tōngi wānsū tōgu tōngmī shībī ngō lē.
Tōngmī tsē tārī tā, tōngi tōgu tōngmī tsē nā ngō sum tē tārī tsē.
Okay, when you say, okay, non-conceptual, exalted wisdom, realizing emptiness, that must be direct realization, direct realization, okay? Direct realization. And a second, in relation to, you have to say that, in relation to, that, okay, the empty of truly existent object, empty of truly existent phenomena, in relation to conceptual mind which realizes emptiness, okay, then that object is a concordant ultimate object.
What do you think?
Yeah, conception.
Conceptual mind.
Conceptual mind, which
mind really is saying emptiness through meaning generality.
The topa sutta that you taught on the
sampa, don't you do you taught?
Yes, when you say conceptual, when a conceptual mind realizes, you know, object, they realize this object through meaning generality.
Yeah. Ni na de nuwa ta che ba so ton ta ba ma do ba ton ni yin sing duwa
so the ton ta ba ma do ba
che ba so ton ta ba ma do
the empty of truly existent birth and so forth
ton ni sing duwa
emptiness right
de ta ri hi tong me la to de ane ton da ngu yin tang kan de se
okay so that is the actual ultimate object in relation to non-conceptual exalted wisdom realizing emptiness, right? How? Why? Why? Yeah, why?
Why is what?
Why is that?
Can you see that?
Yeah. Why that is actual, okay.
Oh, you don't know that you don't
can.
Ultimate object.
Yeah. Why? Why? Because the actual ultimate object possessor is then free from all the elaborations. So, and dualistic appearances.
Free from dualistic appearance?
Right. And free from all the
okay, all the elaborations. Okay,
the
dualistic
appearances.
Because the
that's why it is.
Drube chawa chama tedioris.
Empty.
Drube chawa drube.
Directly. That's why it's directly perceived.
The dirilas ke tenzing drube da ninang drube niga da chawaris.
Denzing sing du dendrup sing du.
Dendrup. Dendrup drupa. Da ninang drupa nika
chawaris. Dendrup drupa da ninang drupa nika jopi kata tondam jimi chana. Tondam ngungo sing.
That's right. That's actually free from both elaborations. Elaborations of truly existent and elaborations existence and elaborations of dualistic appearance. Then that object, the empty of truly existent birth and so forth, in relation to a conceptual mind which realizes emptiness, okay, then that object is a concordant ultimate object, right? Why? Why is that the case? Janet?
Because it's free from the elaboration of true existence, so it's concordant with its actual mode of existence, but it's not free of duality. So it still has the elaboration of duality.
Okay.
Then you know to buy you, you've got it.
How do you prove that it has still dualistic appearance?
Because it appears.
The yudun zu tsama sharing kuru was kola.
Kase.
Yudun zu sharing kuru sta zu zu sta.
Te te to di nje se. Deme ik tonch. Nas deme ik tonch te da. Na yur zu chi yors.
So the appearing object for that mind is that conceptual mind is the meaning generality of empty of truly existent appears. You understand? So the meaning generality of empty of truly existent, empty of truly existence is conventional. A convention of truth. In addition to that, it has a way of perceiving the object and object possessor kind of separately. Okay, differently. So that is called the dualistic appearance. Dualistic appearance is referring to the object and the subject kind of appears separately, distantly. Very good.
I got a question. Uh-huh. If they didn't appear separately, would it appear?
Okay. The lo tsama la di yuda yujin kaga masha na tene kanto shisha korese.
Korese.
Yuda yujin yoro pe na yudi da. Te to lo shoro.
Ode.
Di tsama la ngon sina tsama kaga shia gumi lo shi tuas lo ga yuda yujin tadi.
Da kunzo yudi chicken tsama tene sures.
So okay, all the mind in the continuum of sentient beings, ordinary sentient beings, Rage. Ordinary sentient beings. All sentient beings are actually the object and object possessor appear separately. It's not just saying the all phenomena, but it's conventional phenomena, conventional truth, or conventional phenomena. But then there is meditative equipoise in the continuum of Aryas, right? So which actually realizes emptiness directly. So that mind, that special particular mind, does not have the appearance, the two separate appearance of the object and the object possessor. So it's a free from dualistic appearance. The way in which they're free from dualistic appearance is like when that is like pouring water upon a water. Understand that?
Pouring water into water?
Water into water, yes. Pouring water into water. So if you pour water into water, can you separate them?
No.
So therefore, there is no different way of appearing with the object and object possessor.
So then the
emptiness is the object. And mind, the meditative equipoise, which realizes that emptiness, is the object possessor, right? That is differentiated by conventional, other conventional mind. Not that one, other conventional mind, differentiate that. What is the fifth question? Do we have a fifth question?
Ale ori gangya gajya dendu sirwa ta anhila nang mana an tharang ni ta dosul mara che ba kar
so the object of negation truly existent whether that appear to our sense consciousnesses or not that there's a different assertions by Swatantika Madhyamika and Prasangika Madhyamika. Right?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Alan.
Take it.
I don't know the answer, but... You're on. You're monitor. I don't know the answer.
No, I think the only thing that I could come up with on this one is that the Satantika Manjimika accept that you can how is it worded? Oh God, I just hold on one. The object and the appearance of its emptiness, they assert that those are possible and that's emptiness, whereas the Prasangika Madhyamika don't.
So object and appearing?
Object and its appearance.
Its appearance, emptiness.
Appearance of emptiness, yeah. They assert that that's ultimate emptiness, ultimate truth.
Ultimate truth? Okay.
No, we don't.
Can the Oman Ranju Bilu Shishachevna? And you the you dig Nawa Jorwag? Titoni res. Question. Object and its
so like the
emptiness, you said.
Form
that.
Its emptiness.
Form is emptiness?
Form and its emptiness. The appearance of its emptiness as in lack an inherent existence.
The Ranju Bilula ke Tony Akasa Yuda and a Yuji Tony Chorwa Nika and a Ranshin Chitrova Ranun Chuvares Sungres.
The Ranjubi? The Nigida. So what under the Gardia Dembatrova Anhila Naman Chevar Hegoros?
So here you have to say something about whether that, you know, the object of negation truly existent. Object of negation, comma, truly existent. Okay. Whether that appear to our sense consciousnesses or not. There are two assertions by Prasangika
and
isn't that what I'm saying, though?
You're not saying that, actually. You're saying the object and appearance of an object.
Oh, okay. But the object of negation appears.
Object of negation, truly existent. That is.
That is.
But that can't...
Okay, what is the assertion of Sangika Madhyamika? What is the assertion of Swatantika Madhyamika in terms of the object of negation truly existent, whether that appears to our sense consciousness or not?
The Swatantika, I think, would say yes, and the Prasangika would say no, but the Prasangika say that there's no contradiction.
Prasangika say no, Swatantika say yes.
Yeah.
Ranju Bisena the Shagres, Kasha Dendru, Mishra Shagres. And Tenju Bisena, Shagmaris Ores.
Utemas, Godos,
you're completely, opposite. Completely the opposite.
Yeah, yeah,
Kondo. Opposite.
Go for it.
Go for it. Tandig Dux.
Okay.
From my notes, not from knowing, just from my notes.
Yeah.
I have that Prasangika Majjhimika says that the truly existing forms do appear to our consciousness. And that Svatantra Majjhimika say that true existing form does not appear, and that therefore birth and so forth is mistaken, conventional.
Again, the Ranjubi, Tenjubisena, Svatantrika. Tenjubisena, Ranjubi Somayina, the Suk. Su lola shaun de su demba chuba di lola shag mare sungres tenju ves na di shagres su lola shaun de samba su demba chuba lola shag
lola sigre anhila sigor
wanshil
ta khang da rangju be ge ga ja den do anhila nangre se lavres lang mare se lavres serve
lang mar so da so so tantrika madhyamika se the of the true existent form does not appear to our sense consciousness, right?
Yeah.
And Prasangika Madhyamika say, that does appear to our sense consciousness, right?
That's right.
So the way in which, you know, this says that is exactly like what you said now. So that's right. But then the whatever things appears, all phenomena appear to us, any phenomena appear to us, our sense consciousnesses, they appear as if they are truly existent. So the when a form appears to eye consciousness, which apprehends form, that form appears as if it is truly existent.
And
according to Prasangika Madhyamika, you know, all phenomena whatsoever, there's no such thing inherently existent. All phenomena are empty of inherently existent. So therefore, for Prasangika Madhyamika, the inherent existent or existing from its own side is the one of the object of negation. Object of negation, not one of object of negation.
But
the Svatantrika Madhyamika assert that all phenomena inherently existent.
Okay.
So for Svatantrika Madhyamika, the inherently existent or existing from its own side is not the object of negation. Because they do assert, they do say, they, you know, phenomena exist inherently or existing from their own side. So the form for Svatantrika Madhyamika, form appears as if exists from, you know, its own side. You know? So that is not the object of negation for Svatantrika Madhyamika. You understand that? So there are differences, you know, between these two schools, Prasangika and Swatantika. One said that, you know, inherent existent is the object of negation, and the other says the inherent existent is not of the phenomena, is not the object of negation. So then the within Swatantika Madhyamika there are the Rangyubi Nanzerwa. Okay, there, you know, within Swatantika Madhyamika, there are some assert the external phenomena. Chidu means external meaning or external phenomena. You understand that? So for them, the eye consciousness, which apprehends form, is unmistaken consciousness. That is not mistaken with regarding to any object. But for Prasangika Madhyamika, it is mistaken consciousness. Then there is Yogacara Madhyamika, Swatantika Madhyamika. Which is very similar, which is similar to mind-only schools. Mind-only school. But this school of Swatantika Madhyamika does not accept external object. When the form and so forth appear to eye consciousness, okay, then they appears as if they exist as an external object. Okay, so therefore the eye consciousness are mistaken for this Yogacara Swatantika Madhyamika. They do not say the form appears as inherently existent, but they do say the form appears as an external object. So they do not accept external object. External object is non-existent.
Yeah. For them.
Okay, so we are on the third outline, which is the division of two truths. So the object of knowledge can be divided into two truths. So that is the definite division. It's called definite division. It should not be more than two truths in terms of object of knowledge, and it should not be less than two truths.
The guy is that the knowledge looks. You think I said that he just took a scene at last.
That is because it is says that if a base is positively set off as being a false deceptive object, and then there's a true object, non-deceptive object.
Okay. When
So when you understand something's a phenomena being a false deceptive object, then that will dispel that phenomena being non-deceptive object. Then do you understand that? No? Yeah. Yes. When you realize one, you dispel the other one. You understand? Yeah. So when you understand that phenomena being a false, you know, deceptive object, then you also understand that phenomena is not non-deceptive object. So it's like when you understand or realize this person is being a good person, then that will eliminate that person's being a bad person. Right? So here the false deceptive object and non-deceptive object, the difference between these two is the object which something is concordant where that appears and where actually it exists, right? So if it's concordant, then that is called a non-deceptive object. And then something or the object which is discordant, where it appears and where actually it exists, then that is called the deceptive object. False deceptive object.
That's the first
one.
False
deceptive object, and the next one is true or non-deceptive object. One base, these two are contradictory, right? These two cannot... cannot come together upon one single object. Deceptive object and non-deceptive object. So when you understand that object is being a false deceptive object, false deceptive. Okay, that makes sense. Okay, we'll stick with that. Okay, deceptive object, right? When you understand something's being a deceptive object, then you realize that is not being non-deceptive. So the deceptive object and non-deceptive object are mutually exclusive. Okay, mutually exclusive contradictories. It's called a...
It says in the text.
That means if it's, you know, something, one single object being a deceptive object, for example, then that should not be a non-deceptive object. If that is non-deceptive object, then it cannot be deceptive object. Right? So that's a mutually exclusive contradictory.
Contradictory, it says.
So therefore, it is impossible to have an object of knowledge which is both of these two. So therefore, one truth is not sufficient. You understand? The ultimate truth. And then there is a no object of knowledge, which is neither one of these two. There's no object of knowledge. There's no object of knowledge, which is neither one of these two. You understand? In this category, in these two, has to be either ultimate truth or conventional truth, if it's the object of knowledge.
So if something exists,
that must be either deceptive object or as a falsely existence or non-deceptive object, truly existent. Something that true.
Something that is true, yeah.
So there's no third possibilities other than these two truths. And then there's also no phenomena which is being both. So these are the definite division of object of knowledge. Two truths are the definite division of object of knowledge. Okay. So this is mainly because of the deceptive and non-deceptive mutually exclusive contradictories. And if something is conventional truth, it must be false, deceptive object. And regarding ultimate truth, it must be truth, deceptive
object.
So the difference between the meaning of whether it's being a deceptive or non-deceptive is whether it's a concordant, where it appears, and where actually it exists. And or a disconcordant way it appears in a way it actually exists. So then there is a sutra called the meeting of the father and son sutra. So after Buddha attained, Buddha Shakyamuni attained enlightenment, after many years, he met his father,
Suddhodana.
Sorry. During that meeting, Buddha taught these teachings.
Yes.
So in that sutra, it says, it is like this. The Tathagata comprehends the two truths, conventional and ultimate. That means the Tathagata realizes the two truths. Furthermore, objects of knowledge are exhausted, says, in these conventional and ultimate truths. So here, the exhausted means there are definite division of object of knowledge, the two truths. So that means that if it's an object of knowledge, it has to be either conventional truth or ultimate truth. Then there's another sutra called the Meditative Stabilization, definitely realizing suchness. Meditative Stabilization, definitely. Revealing suchness. In that sutra, it says the conventional and likewise the ultimate. There is not at all a third truth. That means all the objects of knowledge are included within these two truths. So then this question may arise. Okay. Then what about the four truths, four noble truths? You know, Buddha taught the four noble truths, right? What about that?
Oh, said you, Dungar Dembachi, Kunjong Dembachi, Lamden Sumte.
So the truth of suffering and truth of origin and truth of path, these first three truths, these three included the conventional truth. Okay, jam again. And then the truth of cessation is the ultimate truth. So even those four noble truths are included in the two truths. So likewise, you know, likewise in sutras, then sometimes there are, you know, things taught in the name under the name of truths, but these truths are have to be either conventional truth or ultimate truth. So that is because the object of knowledge has two aspects, okay? The aspect of general appearance, and then the aspect of the actual or the true mode of existence. So the aspect of appearance of object of knowledge is named as a conventional truth, and then the aspect of the true mode of existence of phenomena is named as ultimate truth. And it says that thus it is clearly said that the enumeration is definite as to truth. And it says that if the division of the true truth is known, then one is not obscured with regarding to the subduer's word, the word taught, which are taught by Buddha. Subduer is referring to the Buddha. So one is, obscured. Dugumaris. Dugumaris again. Mungumaris. One is not being ignorant with regarding to subduer's word, which means the words of Buddhas.
Ta deni ke namye te mahi ba yinas. Then sanji jomden deji ke ta den kyag bi ke ta te konya konani siyada ta higumaris.
Whereas if the division of the true truth is not known or not understood properly, then one will not know the essence of the teaching, the Buddha's teaching. So here is the point here is that it is important to understand the division of true truths or the true truths well. And shini karsage. One should be mastered in the true truths.
Jadi ta, dembani siate. Ta baji chiror bi ke tumtha nangla. Parche dembani inda bosu. Kunzo na tondang kuzo inda bosu. Kine yongu yorze kedang. Nasu. Nangbi tumti nangla dengu bosu. Deni siate ta tumta yigi yigi yorze lewa.
Nasu. So when it comes to true truths, you know, it's actually, you'll find that the term true truths, you can even find in the non-Buddhist teachings. And also, you'll find in the old schools of Buddhist tenets. So even though it's taught, the true truths are taught in many different tenet schools, right? But the way in which they're taught, the true truths are not the same. It's different. So then when it becomes very important, right, to know the difference between two truths, or one should be mastered in two truths, then what kind of school one should follow? Then we should, of course, follow the protector Nagarjuna. And one should study Nagarjuna's view regarding two truths. That is taught in Chandrakirti's supplement to the Middle Way. It says that there is no method of pacification in those outside the path of the Honorable Master Nagarjuna.
Honorable Master Nagarjuna.
The system or the systematic way of Madhyamika teachings taught by Nagarjuna, if you are outside of that systematic path, then you have no means to attain liberation. So which is actually stated by this, you know, next line, it says they fall from the truths of the conventional and suchness. So other than the systematic path of Nagarjuna, they do not actually understand the truths properly.
Therefore,
it says that by falling from those liberations is not achieved. By falling from those liberation is not achieved. So in order to achieve liberation, it is necessary to know unmistakably, that know the two truths unmistakably. And it says that one who does not know the division of the two, the conventional truth as the method and the ultimate truths as arisen from the method. So, the conventional truths as the method, right? The method here is method to understand the ultimate truth.
So it is
important to understand. Initially, one should understand the conventional truth. You know, one should not overestimate and underestimate phenomena.
Then, tell at the end is that,
in dependence upon that, one will eventually realize the ultimate truths.
So the
logical statement or the stated sign or stated reason, you can say the subject sprout is empty of inherently existent because it is a dependent dependent arising.
Witness.
For example, the reflection of your face in a mirror.
Oh, theek ta khare duk yor se de nyugo dembar ma duba deme duk yor se.
So what is establishing here? The here's establishing the new karsage
deme duk yor
the sprout being empty of truly existent.
No tindi duba la ta
So when you establish the sprout being emptiness or empty of truly existent, one, it is important to understand the sprout. What is the sprout? And also you need to understand that sprout being dependent rising. And it is important to have a certainty if something is dependent arising, it must be empty of truly existent. And also one need to know that example giving here is the reflection of your face in the mirror.
So
here we have four things here. First one is sprout, and sprout is dependent arising, and if something is dependent arising, that must be empty of truly existent. That's the third one, empty of truly existence, the third one. And the fourth one is the example, which is reflection of your face in the mirror, right? So four of them are conventional truth.
Mm-hmm.
So this must be understood initially. So, in dependence upon these, one need to realize the sprout is empty of truly existent, or the emptiness of sprout. So, the emptiness of sprout, or the empty of truly existent, inherently existent, sprout is existence of sprout is ultimate truth or emptiness and ultimate truth. So in order to understand that emptiness, you need, you know, one needs to depend on many conventional phenomena, right? So therefore, that understanding of conventional truths initially is as a method in order to understand the ultimate truth eventually, right? So these two are cause, So these two realizations of conventional truth and realizations of ultimate truth are a sequential, there's a sequential order or the cause and effect relationship. Therefore, it is says the conventional truth as the method and the ultimate truth as arisen from the method. And those who does not know, the division of two is abide abided on a bad path through wrong conceptions. Abode, I think it's abode, right? Abide. It's actually the Tibetan stanza goes So the order is a little different, okay? The Tibetans, actually, the conventional truth as the method, and then the ultimate truth as arisen from the method, is actually the first, and then it comes the one who does not know the division of the two, abides on a bad path through the wrong conceptions. It's the same. That's just one little thing. Yeah. 돈다시
걸으셔. 어디 갈지 걸었다. 왜 안은 걸비 누가 타다가 타르반도 반 남지? 근데 내일 안 개발지 하고. 예. 내일 안 개발지 하지도다. 해도 계속 버리지.
So those who wish to attain liberation from cyclical existence, for them, it is crucial to become a skillful master, to master in two truths. It is important to understand two truths in order to free from cyclical existence and attain liberation. So is there actually base two truths. Okay. Base two truths. And then the path, methods and wisdom, or the skillful means and wisdom. And result to kayas, or the two bodies of the Buddhas.
다니 얘기한다. 람 음아 내니 송죽 쓰여 이 말이죠.
And then there another term we use is that
가지고 이게 음아 내니 송죽.
The base, you know, the middle, the base, basic middle path.
말 이게 음아.
시 음아. 시 is a base.
음아.
The middle.
내니 송죽.
Which is the union of two truths.
어디? 이게 음아 내니 송죽.
And then there's a path, which is also middle path. Middle path, middle base. I think I should say middle bath. Sorry. Middle base. Middle base. Base. Middle base. 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 Okay, she uma. She is a base. Uma is a middle. Okay, the middle path, middle right. So middle base. Can you say that middle base? Is the unification of two truths, or the union of two truths? It's like this base, base, comma, and middle. Okay, comma. Okay, then you have the union of, which is union of the two truths. Okay, base, middle, middle, base, or base, middle is referring to the union of two truths. And then there's a path, which is also middle. Okay, middle. which is the unification of union of the method and wisdom. Gandhi she said the demba nil ko
gurbas
la
okay,
oh that there is it. Ali tesi do his da tesi ya kesa alta mo ma
yeah can you hold a second
da lam ma kase
lam ma tab she son ju che
da jib ma kuni son ju se ba jo
and then result middle. The result is the union of two kayas. Middle result, you can say. I don't know how to say this exactly. Thing you have here.
Oh, tennis kid, that? That top ya tattoo to tennis, a kuni song to you got a top goal or something.
So the final attainment is, of course, the union of two kayas, right? So these two kayas are referring to Dharmakaya and Rupakaya. So in order to attain that middle result, which is the union of two kayas, one must cultivate or practice the middle path, which is referring to the union of method or skillful means and wisdom.
So nam ji tso sahwa la ten arwa so bo tala ten ne ten ji bo zukut to ku yo yin bars
so once accumulation of merit which is the method aspect okay one will achieve the rupakaya
that ne
by practicing the accumulation of wisdom, which is meditating on emptiness.
Right.
One will attain the Dharmakaya. So the power of meditating on emptiness, one will abandon two obscurations.
So
by abandoning two obscurations, one will achieve the omniscient exalted wisdom, which realizes all phenomena as they are. That's because you abandoned or get rid of the obscuration to knowledge or cognitive, cognitive obscuration.
Obscurations.
Right? So then you will achieve the all knowing exalted wisdom.
That is called
That is called the Dharmakaya, Dharmakaya, which is the realization part. The realization of Dharmakaya. So when you completely abandon the two obscurations, and then you will get the true cessation, right? So you have the complete abandonment of two obscurations. That which is called the truth of cessation, right? And also called non-abiding nirvana. That is called the dharmakaya of abandonment. So these two dharmakayas, you know, dharmakayas of realization, dharmakaya of abandonment, these two are achieved mainly depending upon or meditating on emptiness. And two rupakayas, and also the marks, major and minor marks, are achieved by cultivation of, by cultivating the accumulation of merit. So therefore, in order to attain those resultant kayas, right, one must engage in the practices of method, the union of method and wisdom. So whether that your practices of the two, the method and wisdom, that, you know, kind of effective practice, whether that becomes effective practice or correct, kind of unmistaken practice, that is very much depend on whether you understand or not the basis, which is the two truths. Such as, you know, pot has two aspects, the appearing aspect, which is the conventional aspect of the pot, and then there's ultimate nitsu, the true motive existent of the pot, which is the ultimate aspect of the pot. So the true nature of the pot, or the ultimate mode of the pot, is not findable upon investigation, and which is empty of truly existent. It's like that. So likewise, you know, all phenomena have these two aspects.
And
so So the establishing these two aspects of all phenomena, and you know practice that practice is called the accumulation of wisdom. So the way in which you accumulate the merit of wisdom, accumulation of wisdom, accumulation of wisdom is done by cultivating or establishing the ultimate truth of phenomena. Do you understand that? And then the such as pot, you know, the pot has the aspect of appearance, appearing aspect. So the pot is empty of inherently existent, yet there are there are conventional aspect, you know, which is not analyzed by ultimate truth, So there, the appearing aspect of the pot, or the conventional aspect of the pot. So that is the function of the pot, you know, holding water and so forth.
You
understand that? No? Conventional, what functions, the mere the appearance of the pot, the aspect of appearance of the pot, that actually functions as that can performs, you know, function of holding water, right?
Yes. That which appears does, but not the
That which appears.
No, but he's talking about the function of holding water, not the, the appearance. It's like
What's different between that which appears and the appearance of the pot?
Well, the appearance. That which appears is directly referring to the pot, but the appearance is not necessarily reflecting to the pot, it's reflecting, referring to the appearance.
Appearance is like a generic image, right? Meaning generality.
Meaning generality of pot.
Mihil na ngkemandu es.
Okay, the pot do appear. Pot does appear to our eye consciousness, right? Sense consciousness. So the pot is mere appearance to our sense consciousness, eye consciousness. So the mere is illuminating. The word term mere is illuminating that pot is being truly existent. Okay. So without, you know, investigating and analyze, we do say that I saw a pot. You know, there is a pot. And so forth, right? That is the mere appearance of the pot.
But that doesn't hold water.
That, diga, diga,
it's just language. It's just language. No, like you have also appearance. You can have the appearance of pot on television. So you still refer to that as
the
pot, the appearance of the pot in the television is the pot according to the worldly. You know, ordinary worldly beings' consciousness. That's not the pot.
No, no. It's
like the mere appearance of the pot. Mere appearance of the cup is referring to the cup that we all
say.
So all phenomena are established by appearing to our mind. The mere appearance of the pot holds the water. Holds the water.
That which holds the water. That which appears. It's just a thing, a little idiom with English. It has nothing to do with Geshe Luce's explanation. It's just that in English, when you say the appearance has the function, it's really incongruent with the way we use the word appearance. That's all it is. That's exactly what we're saying.
That kanta bumba siyate. Matak machi bingor ta ming dang tokhi ge par tak pa sam chik ta ming sam sik yo yin bar ta kang
so okay the pot is actually merely labeled right merely labeled by name pot
ata ming sam chik gon yo se gor se
so pot is exist merely the name labeled the name
oh ti ge tala tala cha ji ti se gon de sta
so that actually has the chaje means that activities, you know, performs activities. That functions activities. Performs functions. The part is, you know, arisen from its cause, right? That is also merely labeled. So part will produce the result. Yeah. That is also merely labeled by the mind.
So
the functions such as holding water and so forth, the pot, is merely labeled by the mind. Merely labeled by the mind.
Holding water is a concept.
It's just merely labeled by the mind, or conceptual mind, or merely labeled by the names.
Okay.
So all phenomena are merely labeled by the mind, right? So the problem is that which appears, hold the water, you said. But not the mere appearance of the
pot.
So we establish phenomena by merely appearing to our minds, right? So in any case, you know, the pot is not exist from its own side. So if pot is merely labeled, right, merely labeled by the mind, by mind, then don't you think that, you know, or do you think that then it cannot function, perform a function?
No, because it changes. Because it can change.
Hmm? Say it again.
So it, because it can change,
uh-huh.
It can function.
The chaje thegre kanse na the ngyodwa yorwas.
The ming tamre se du kare se tsuks.
What do you mean by merely labeled by the name? What is the meaning of that?
Merely labeled by name?
Yeah, merely labeled by name.
Ming tamji yorwas. Tokhi pa takwa tamji ten ko yo se yorwas.
So exist part is exist merely labeled by mind, conceptual
mind. Conceptual.
Yeah, conceptual thoughts.
Yes.
So what do you mean by that?
I
don't understand the question.
Ah, you do, and then ah, ane. Yena yanta, ah, k ming takse tang tokhi ke ane takse yu sing mar sirwa.
But
there are nyogdas yor sirwa.
But there's a problem too, because if something is merely labeled, it not necessarily be existent.
Pena rongora tabu tuyang ta ming rongora sa ming yorwas.
But even the horns of rabbit, you know, horns of rabbit, you have a name, the horns of rabbit. And then there's a conceptual thought which actually holds that horns of rabbit, perceives horns of rabbit,
misperceived.
But the horns of rabbit, we cannot say existent. So the in order to be, you know, the merely labeled phenomena, merely labeled by mind phenomena, in order to be that, you know, kind of existent, that should not be harmed by a conventional valid cognizer. Should not be harmed by conventional valid cognizer.
Or is there no contradiction?
Contradict with conventional valid cognizer.
They shouldn't contradict.
Yeah.
Shouldn't.
Yeah.
They shouldn't contradict.
Manu, the term we use is not harmed by. So, not harmed by.
So they don't erase each other. They don't negate each other.
Open a rumor, Yuri, Sina. The Mepart and you can be Tamaranga be talked of yours.
So if you say the horns of rabbit exist, you know, and then the non existent of horns of rabbit can be realized by ordinary perceptions,
Tamatino of yours,
or the conventional valid cognizers of
continuum.
So that the harm here, the harmed by something, is harmed by something means that these conventional value cognizers can realize the non-existent of that phenomena. So then what is the conventional value cognizer? Conventional value cognizer is something that must concordant with for that particular country. For that particular time, so kind of, you know, well known for people in that particular area in a particular time. Something that well known, yeah, because they are conventionally agreement, exactly. That's it. Renowned, yeah, conventionally renowned. Because there is not such a, you know, conventional value cognizer which is actually exists from its own side. There is no such thing. Something also kind of merely labeled.
So,
for example, like, you know, the President Bush, you know, when you say he is the President of the United States, everybody says it, right? And he seems like the President of the United States for today, right? Then he can fall, you know, from president seat tomorrow. And everybody says he's not the president of the United States. Then he's not.
Right.
So that is the renown of that particular country or at the particular time. He's referring to that.
Oh, that is indeed. That kind of that. Kunzob Tanya can joktur. So Shiva Yina Tatala Anichi gave out on the Quasi underwater on it, Yundi Jinam Yaksi underwater, the Gangalotin. Then Doctor Yak was he go your server.
Yes.
Tanya Kunzo Kunam Yak.
So the presentation of the conventional truth, you know, it must be understood properly, because if you do that, if you understand that, then you can. Through that, you know, you can establish the law of causality, karma, law of, you know, cause and effect. So if you do not know the presentation of conventional truth, then you do not, you cannot establish the law of causality accordingly. For example, the non-Buddhist school, Samkhya's, right? Samkhya's says that everything, all phenomena, arise from the principle, general principle. And there are many beings, many believers, you know, they think that everything is a creation of God, creation by God. So therefore, it becomes very important to understand the presentation of conventional truth. So if you understand that properly, then you also understand that what is the cause of happiness and what is the cause of suffering, you know, how the happiness arise, you know, independence upon, and how the suffering arise, and so forth. So through that, then you will abide by the cause, law of causality, you know, and then the accumulation of merit. The practices such as the generosity, keeping morality and so forth.
So whether
your accumulation of merit and wisdom be effective or not, it's very much depends on the understanding of
two-truths.
So the resultant two kayas, you know, whether you're going to attain that result or not, it very much depends on the presentation of two-truths. That's why it's called the base two truths.
I see. Then they know.
Uh-huh. Try use. Okay. Okay. Hillary?
Let's see. Keshe was saying about the two realizations are sequential. They have like a cause and effect relationship, you know, understanding conventional.
Two realizations are sequential.
I think as far as when he was saying, you know, understanding, the way I wrote it down was like understanding the conventional and then arising from that an understanding of the ultimate. But, and that makes sense. In another context, though, I'm trying to remember, like in another class, I think, so maybe this will shed some light for me. In another class, I think an attendance class, it was almost presented the opposite way. It seemed like we had to have some understanding of the ultimate in order to even conceptualize conventional truth.
I see, okay.
It seems as though the two just go hand in hand.
Okay. Ane thanye deba thap sjuwa thunu deba thap jung kyuwa diya saya chik chitwa ke. Tingi ala kunzo namshaa di shiyan gores. Tene tuyendo gu jokzu shiyan gores. Son sonas. Te tini koram chewe na tambu kunzo bta tene tuyendo nizu shiyan gu duwas.
Nore.
Ane zinda di tende kawai na agumundo zinda chigla manzu tuyendo kunzo chamo sikyo sarke.
Nore wa.
Kunzo chamo di togwala.
So,
okay, the conventional phenomena or the dependent arising, there are a difference in terms of subtlety and grossness. Okay, there's a subtle conventional
phenomena. 딱왔잠비 뭔지 약위 텐더스 요르스
맞아
다들 텐더 타모스 요르스로
so the most subtle dependent arising is merely labeled by name and conceptual thoughts that is called the subtle dependent arising
그래도 아마 단율이 그 텐더 욕탕 들어봐다
this is the uncommon dependent arising of prasangika madhimika uncommon special
de to kala ta rangoni madu ba to kangon du go yor sero
so in order to realize this type of dependent arising one must realize the empty of truly existent empty of truly, the understanding of empty of truly existent must be preceded. So how do you say that? Before you have to understand that first.
Okay,
empty of truly existent, you must understand empty of truly existent first, and then you understand the subtle dependent arising, which is merely. Labeled by names and conceptual thoughts.
The main dang talk, Dagila then a main dang talk we get part takwa zamjigida, Dagio Samudu, the Zamra di Karjigorsudu, or Ramuni to Vajigors.
So the mere here is kind of eliminating things existing from their own side.
Jedu?
Okay.
Ramuni to Vaj.
So without understanding the empty of inherently existent, one cannot understand that things are merely labeled, merely here. you know, the mirror here is illuminating, existing from their own side, right? So there's another way, two different ways, two more ways of presenting dependent arising, right? The one is the dependent arising of cause and effect. Right?
So
the sprout is depends upon it cause the seed and then conditions, for example, soil, fertilizer and so forth. So that is called the dependent arising. Things arise from, you know, cause and effect. Cause and effect. Dependent arising, which is the cause can produce the result. The result arise by depending upon the cause. That kind of thing. This dependent arising is asserted by all four schools of tenets. This dependent arising can be understood by even ordinary worldly beings, whether they, you know, use the term dependent arising or not, but they know by depending upon a seed, the sprout rise and things like that. So because of that, they put a lot of effort, you know, to work on field.
Right.
And likewise, there are many factories, you know, many factories, right? Factories, they make a lot of stuff. Factories, yeah.
Okay.
Then there's another way of, you know, asserting dependent arising, which is things that depend upon their parts. That is, you know, such as pot is actually dependent rising. It depends upon its parts. It parts of the eastern part of the pot, western, you know, the four directions, their parts. And it's the upper parts of the pot and the bottom, you know, and so forth. All these are parts. So the pot is actually established by depending upon all these different parts. So that is one another way to assert dependent arising. So that dependent arising is not accepted by the Vibhashika school, Sovatantrika, and mind only schools. So this the second type of dependent arising can include even uncompounded phenomena. So okay, mind only school and below, the dependent arising has to be compounded phenomena. You understand that?
Kedita Ranki Chahi Latona to be tendered the Uma Tanjurwata, or Ranjubani Kenegrisro.
That dependent arising, which depends upon it parts, okay, that is asserted by Swatantrika Madhyamika and Prasangika Madhyamika.
Hontininduta Tiandutana, Numaji Namkatavatian, be Choji Chatan Jiva. Indu, the rank Chahi Latena Triba.
So, these dependent arising can include those uncompounded phenomena such as space. The space is depends upon its part, right? The direction of parts. It's called the direction of parts. So when you say the subject sprout is empty of true existence because it is dependent arising, you know, that particular logical sign or the stated reason is, or that dependent arising is referring to either cause and effect, you know, depend upon cause and effect, or depend upon a part. Those two types of dependent arising. Referring to those two types of dependent arising. Are you okay, Hilary?
Yeah,
sort of. That's better than nothing. That's less it. So up to this, we completed the prerequisites of special inside. So this is the divisions of the special insight. We are in right now we are in the divisions of a special
insight.
So once you found the view of selflessness, okay, by cultivating the prerequisites of special insight, then one should meditate on a special insight. So the sequential order of the special come abiding and special inside is the first you need to cultivate come abiding.
Oh, tenis yin dita. Ona tenis yin ba yin ata kumi agal hangtong tala tenis kase yori sirwa ta damuda kande yori is. Tenis ba yin as.
So if that is the case, then what is special inside, and then how many types of special inside?
Kiduta, kamdir ena san thombo rewata. Tosuk dene langhong tosota zobor, tengumen songdo. 아니 소소지 부티기다 공야하거든 아 상동도 저거 아니 아 돈벌치그리 좀
It says that here I will mainly indicate not the special insight of those in high grounds, but rather those to be cultivated while a common being. It says the special insights which is suitable for common ordinary beings.
Yes. Ngoboni yi langtong, gosum yi langtong, chok duk langtong. Senata, so Lord Duna, and Sung Nanduri.
The divisions of the special insight to be cultivated while a common beings are those of four natures. Those of the four natures, the three approaches, and six. Searches, he says.
Chedida, some did not do you in Sarawa. The door tanks on us.
So this is kind of brief explanation of special insight.
That in Naga, any Moboni yi tangtong, siatic. Yet candidacy is enough.
So then, what are the special insight of the four natures?
Chedida. Ando de gongreli song vigetene, nabar njeba la soba, yetala seguri songdo.
So which is in a taught in a sutra unraveling the thoughts. There are four in special insights, the four natures are described in a sutra unraveling the thoughts. And then the four through their definition and so forth. Okay, concerning them.
Number
Jeba.
So here said in the word.
Landok.
Then number Jeba, Sikando.
Number Jeba is in a differentiation.
That is Langdong's allowed.
So the special insight is how do you say that? Through differentiation.
That rather than number Jeba,
and special insight. Which is through thorough differentiation, special inside. Rubbed thoroughly and rubbed the silver.
That is Yung's Tokwa.
And then the intense differentiation is done in observing of the mode. Yung's Tokwa's in the Tony Tokwa's silver again. It says the thorough investigation. Thorough analysis.
Okay. That is the number in Jeba. Rab the number in Jeba. Yungs Tokwa.
Okay, so you have four different types here. Differentiation, thorough differentiation, and the thorough investigation and thorough analysis. Those are the four natures of special insight.
Thorough differentiation,
thorough investigation, thorough analysis.
No, one is through, right? Differentiation. The first one just merely differentiation. And the second is thorough differentiation. And then the thorough investigation. Thorough analysis.
I see.
Okay.
And then each one of those has thorough investigation and thorough analysis.
Yeah.
And one has, the second has investigation and analysis.
Gen karsa yonsu tambu ni de karsa ge.
Number je ba dang rab de number je ba.
Number je ba se chigo mishin mundu ke. Number je ba se de gane. Yavaş yavaş durata ke.
De kan kar yer yurdu de.
Number Jebson, Yavacheva Tamreve, Delia, Tsik Shuk Yao, Taurus, and intense. What is different between intense and thorough?
Tino Kanduma.
Yeah, thorough, yes, T H O R O U G H. I thought this is the same.
Very similar.
Very similar, right? Okay, so the first one is actually, let's just use what we have in the text. Thorough differentiation, intense differentiation, thorough investigation, thorough analysis.
No, it doesn't have those four. It doesn't break it down like that here. It says the first has two types. Thorough differentiation has two types. Thorough investigation, thorough analysis, so there's two types of thorough.
Now what is we try to do is we actually try to count for nature which is taught in a sutra unraveling the thought. So the four I'm trying to kind of introduce the four to you. The four, what are the four nature?
Okay,
first one is the thorough differentiation.
Thorough differentiation.
Dinalia thorough differentiation lashake.
Number jeba rebe.
Number jeba.
Then rab the number jeba.
Intense differentiation.
Ani yongsu toga.
Thorough investigation.
Yongsu joba.
Thorough analysis.
Oh, that yes, yeah, that there is that.
These are the four natures.
Okay. So you're saying okay. The second one now is intense, not thorough. You're changing it now.
Yeah, changing it actually. Changed it. Uh-huh. Not just differentiation, thorough differentiation. Second one is intense differentiation. And third one is thorough investigation. Fourth one is thorough analysis.
And the thorough differentiation
is done in observation of the various varieties of conventional phenomena.
So that
is the special insight, observing to conventional phenomena and then analyze that or differentiate that those varieties of conventionality. So okay, the special insight is observing or focusing on an object and then analyze the object. So this is actually the special insight which is mainly cultivated in dependence upon varieties or conventionalities. And the second one, intense differentiation, is a type of special insight which is done in observation of the mode of emptiness or suchness. So the thorough investigation and thorough analysis is actually under the category of the first two. The first one has, you know, thorough investigation, thorough analysis, which is the thorough differentiation, right? Thorough differentiation has this kind of subdivision of. And the second one, intense differentiation, as also can be done through thorough investigation and thorough analysis. So what is the difference between thorough investigation and thorough analysis? This is respectively analysis of the coarse and subtle objects. So the tokpa here means thorough investigation. Investigation is done with regarding to the object, kind of roughly or coarse aspect of the object. And thorough analysis is more subtle than that, in terms of, in a way, analyzing the object. This, you know, thorough investigation and analysis, these two are part of the secondary mental factors. So the investigation is a state of mind which analyzes the object kind of roughly. And then the analysis will analyze the object more precisely, or subtlety of the object. These differentiations, these are taught in a sutra, in the text called the Asanga's Grounds of Hearers, and Ratnakarashanti's quintessential instructions on the perfection of wisdom. Then there's another special insight called the special insight of three doors. Which is taught in a sutra unraveling the thought. The first one is arisen from a sign, And second is arisen from through searching, thorough searching. And then third one is arisen from individual investigation. You have three names at least, right? Third one is arisen from individual investigation. Okay, so then how do you, to illustrate, you know, identifications of these with respect, for instance, it says, the meaning of selflessness, to the meaning of selflessness. This is a special insight arisen from the sign is a case of observing the selflessness, okay, already ascertained, selflessness already ascertained, and taking to mind its sign. It says, one does not perform much additional setting of the meaning. The additional setting of the meaning is you do not further investigate. Okay. So that is referring to the arisen from the sign. Arisen from a sign. So do you understand
what's meaning of
So this is something you have done, such as, you know, if you have realization of emptiness, you just merely focus on emptiness, but do not further analyze. Do not further analyze. Just merely focus on that object you already have understood. Or already have realization.
What is
it
sign?
Tsema.
Tsema sida. Bena tongwa ni tabu ane ten la pabu yorubas. Longni yorubas. De kona lo yu tu jis. Ane teli ki yen da. Jik jimsen la sawa teni ki jepa ma wun me jepa. Teni jik sengdu.
Manda jidan tsema sas tu wakin.
Re. Da teri wa te chu kari yi na te. Ako.
Okay, the sign is the actually kind of definition or the qualities of the characteristic of being a such phenomena. For example, the pot. A characteristic of the phenomena. For example, what are the characteristic of being a pot? So that particular phenomena, aspect or characteristic. That's called the sign. So when you know something appear to your mind, you have these, you know, the characteristic of phenomena or the aspect of phenomena, you know, that is called the sign. Okay.
Then they indeed done the Tony Nisimachi Singua. And tell that meanness, and it didn't say my said you that don't want you to. And you like it, see your.
So here you we assume that you already ascertained the selflessness, right? Then you're taking that to your mind and then focusing on that. And you do not further investigate. So we're not saying that you do not investigate at all, but you do not further investigate. Further investigate. Okay, the second one is special inside. Risen from through searching is a thorough searching. Thorough searching. Is a settling of the meaning for the sake of ascertaining what was not ascertained earlier. So if, let's say, you haven't gained the ascertainment with relation to selflessness, right? Then you try to cultivate that selflessness in order to ascertain the selflessness or understand or gain realization of selflessness. And then third one is a special insight arisen from individual investigation. So this is something that you have already ascertained, but still you analyze that what you have ascertained. That's you. The way in which you perform the analysis to that is exactly the same as that you did before. Understand that? So when you meditate, you know, in this special insight, there are three different ways of doing that. So we stop here for tonight. We have not much left, actually. It's not difficult at all from this point. Mm-hmm.